Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by our SewHere.com members. This podcast and our community is mostly funded by the support of listeners like you. If you love the podcast, check out SewHere.com/membership to see how you can keep it in your ears for years to come and get fun stuff to boot.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
Oh, I thought Mallory was going to give me instructions, but this is ZD Donahue.
Oh, I am going to give you instructions. I'm going to tell you this is how you format answers for Jeopardy.
It's hard.
Yeah. So she's like, wait, how do you do that?
No, I didn't say how did you do it. I said, I'm going to do it like this. And you said, no, you don't.
I didn't say anything. I just started recording.
Oh. So she was recording and I didn't know it.
I said, hi and welcome to the podcast. Okay. So here we go. This is what people poke through their spools of thread that weakens it, but makes a good picture for the internet. And yes. You say,
what is storing your needle through the threads on your spool?
You just have to say, what is a needle?
Oh, what is a needle? Oh, I didn't get a question here. What is putting the...
No,
what is a needle?
I said the answer, and you didn't have to say, what is a needle?
What is a needle? Okay.
We obviously planned this out really well.
We can't play Jeopardy. I need Alex Trebek.
Alex Trebek.
Come back.
It's another one.
Another Canadian.
Another favorite Canadian. Yep.
Yeah,
one of my favorite Canadians.
Okay, so we're not going to play Jeopardy. We're going
to because
obviously we're not good at this, but these are good trivia questions. Mm-hmm. And actually, when we went to Baby Lock, they asked us some sort of questions that we were supposed to answer.
They did some trivia.
Yeah, kind of.
We talked about that. I wanted to ask a question so that ZD would have to say, what is longitude?
Oh, my God. I mispronounced one thing, and she's like, can't let it go.
I love it.
Just remember who taught you how to speak.
Who taught
it me.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Anyway.
Okay. So on this episode, we're going to talk about some things that we see sort of on the internet and places that we actually don't think are very good ideas. So,
I mean, we see them. I shouldn't just say we see them on the internet. I've seen them everywhere. I've seen them when I've been teaching people.
I only go on the internet. I don't go anywhere else.
But, you know, in teaching people or something, sometimes you're like, you know, this isn't really good habit. And we're going to tell you why.
Yeah.
And then you can do it if you want.
That's right.
You can choose not to do it, or you can do it if you want.
You know.
And sometimes the reason we know why not to do it is, We've done it ourselves before. Yes, and found out it's not a good idea.
Yeah, we haven't done a real like snarky episode except for right when I was like, Derek, why are you wearing your pants this way? The last time, so this will be a good one. Okay,
I think this is going to be a series. Personally.
Okay, the first poorly worded Jeopardy answer that we tried to give is, so what you're not supposed to do, just like get into it. Don't take a needle. Hand sewing machine, whatever, any kind of needle, and stick it through a spool of thread to keep the needle where you can find it.
Right.
To keep
store
track of the needle.
Store it through the threads in your, you know, that are going around that spool. You see that picture?
Yeah.
It's really common. It's really common graphic for people to use. And I just looked on the internet, okay, and there were several places that I know people have referred to, like, oh, I got my idea from here, or oh, such and such says this. And they have that graphic, and it is, I'm telling you, most the people that sew will and know lots of things, and some will tell you, don't do that. It weakens the thread, and you don't know where.
Okay, so, you know, I think what happens is it's like a stock photo that gets used. But, like, I wouldn't put that stock photo on my website.
Right.
It would make my...
Well, when I see it on, somebody's website, I think, do they really know what they're talking about? That's what happens to me.
Yeah, it can.
What happens to me. And that's probably not totally true.
No, but it could. Now, you know, you get all these, what we were kind of looking up on the internet, you get those clickbait videos and those clickbait articles and da-da-da-da-da. But we really are trying to be helpful here with things that sometimes we see recommended. So don't store your needles through there. Like Mom said, it weakens the thread and you don't know where.
It may be in more than one place, actually.
Oh, yeah, probably.
And if you have a habit of doing it, which a lot of people, you know, a lot of times you'll see this, like, on some sort of neutral thread.
Right.
And, you know, I remember my grandmother doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it was, like, her hand sewing basket, and she had, like, the needle stuck in, like, a white and maybe a gray.
Right.
And maybe, you know, a black.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh, I wonder how many buttons fell off because she did that when
she
was, you know, hand sewing the buttons on. And we didn't realize that she kept having to sew them on because that's, you know, she was weakening the thread and we didn't know it.
So if anybody's wondering how a needle would weaken the thread, you're putting a sharp metal thing through some thread.
Right. So. And a thread is, you know, is more than one fiber.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's
and split
just
them.
Think of a rope.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bunch of fibers wound and spun together.
And they're wound around there really tight to keep the shape. And so even the parts of the thread where the needle isn't puncturing or perhaps the point isn't even coming into contact, it's being overstretched.
Right.
You know, so it's just, I mean, and you don't have to do that.
No. Actually, another thing is you may be dulling your needle.
That's
the best thing
possible.
To put your needle in is something that's going to sharpen it, like, you know, a pincushion that's filled with sand.
Sand or something.
Right.
Now,
keeps it clean
if
and sharpens
you do have
a
kit,
it a little bit.
Like, okay, well, what do I put my needle in? Needles, da da da. You know, try to keep a scrap of felt in your kit, just a little square that you can put the needle in and out of.
Right.
You know,
I would sometimes pile up a couple pieces of felt and just serge around the edges or, you know, or even just sew. Because
you don't
the
have
felt,
to.
Right.
Felt
I just use a serger because I like it's fast.
Because you like serging
I'm a serger freak. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I like to just cut things and not finish them.
Yeah. But, you know, I usually, well, sometimes I like more than one. You know,
yeah.
I like.
Yeah.
Here's what I will do.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got more than one layer of felt, you can put it through the top layer. You put it in and out and up, and then
protect the
and
point.
And then you take the point and put it back
you've
between the
little,
two.
You
right.
made a little
made
pocket
like
for the
little,
point.
Right.
Yeah. Good point. Sharp point on the needle. Good. Okay.
Now, what do you want to do about this one? Can you read what that says?
No. Well, yeah, and I think that I want to maybe broaden that.
Okay.
A little bit.
Right.
Okay.
And right. I know what you're going.
You know what I'm
going
to say?
Okay.
All right.
So. Yeah,
if I don't add to it.
Okay.
But like, you can't just steam out every mistake.
Right.
Okay. So there's been a lot of discussion in the group about like, oh, this neckline didn't go in well or this elastic didn't go in well or this whatever. And people are like, just give it a good steam. Like, we're all about steaming, aren't we, Mom? We love we love steaming.
Yeah, I
things.
Love to steam. I love to press.
Love,
but I certainly don't want to press in my mistakes either.
There you go.
Right.
So, so go ahead. Go on.
Well,
go on.
You know, okay. It's not going to work, and it's not going to help you, and you're not going to learn anything by doing it.
Right.
Okay. And especially if you're something like trying to steam in elastic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's the real problem with that. You're steaming the rubber, okay? The rubber is very, very labile to heat.
Right. It gets
okay?
degraded.
Okay, that's what ruin, you know.
Yeah.
If anything will ruin rubber, it's you know, like chlorine and salt
sunlight.
And heat and sunlight. So if you take that iron and you're, you know, shooting that steam at whatever it is, I mean, you know, it's at least as hot as steam.
Yeah. It's at least 212 degrees Fahrenheit,
that's
right? Or 100 degrees Celsius,
that's
right?
That's correct. Uh-huh. You've just taken away the integrity of the elastic you've just put in.
And, like, I'm not saying, you know, that after you finish a garment and maybe it's been at your sewing machine and stuff.
Right.
And then you steam and it might look better, of course. Or, you know, that, yes.
Well, steaming out a wrinkle, but you really can't iron out or steam out mistakes.
Right.
And I see a lot of this as advice on our Facebook page. I don't think anybody means, you know, this in a bad way.
No.
But, and, you know, they're trying to help someone. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is it really is, in fact, sometimes you may, what happens is then it doesn't work. Then they take it out. Then you've screwed with the integrity of the fabric. So it
distorted it.
Right.
Yeah.
So now that, you know, the fabric right there is just totally messed up.
So I see this a lot about, like, necklines that have gotten stretched or distorted. Okay, so if you stretched or distorted something and you think you want to put it back into shape, you need to undo your sewing.
That's right, because the sewing is what's holding it in the distortion.
Yes.
Yes.
So then after you undo your sewing, let's pretend you applied bias to a neckline.
Yes.
You stretched it out of shape.
Well, I didn't, but go ahead.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. No, okay. Anyway, okay, you stretched. One stretched the neckline out of shape. One must undo the bias.
Right.
You need to remove it. And then you can go over with your shirt with the neckline that now has, you know, like the raw edge or whatever. And you can steam and try
You should try and steam it then, but you cannot steam out incorrect stitching.
Yes, exactly.
Because the stitching is what's making it
is holding it in that
That's
wrong,
what's incorrect
quote,
about
wrong
it.
Place.
Right.
So I think the advice, like, give it a good steam, like, sometimes it's applicable, but not when you've sewn in.
Not to steam the mistake in.
Exactly.
I mean, that's exactly what you're and that would actually could segue us into why we don't, as a practice,
press in a hem
before we hem a garment.
Yes.
Okay.
Except on jeans, because I know somebody's going to be like, you did the video on pressing in the
jeans. We actually do.
So on, like, we just did the zigzag video for the blind hem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that hem we don't press in ahead of time. The tiny hem video that we've done with the, how many ways are there in that video? Like three?
At least three.
So I think three maybe. Yeah. So we don't press that hem in before sewing the hem.
Right. You press your hem in. After you get your hem in, you look at it, you inspect it, and you go, oh, it came out just right. Then you press your hem in.
So you don't, and you know,
And you press. You don't iron. You don't go back and forth. You press.
We've thought about doing like a whole episode on this kind of, but I think it's maybe simpler than you think. Okay, and I think a lot of people think about pressing in blind hems because that's how it tells you to do it in the sewing machine manual, right?
Right.
Like, right. I mean, that's what it'll say. How do you use your blind hem foot? And it shows you all this folding, and you are supposed to press it, and then you're supposed to stitch, right? Okay, so that blind hem, you can pin up the hem.
Right.
At intervals. You know, just like you would.
Below the stitching line.
Generally, hems are curved, like, a lot of time. Not all the time.
Right.
Not all pants. Like, I'm thinking of, like, a trouser might be pretty straight. But a skirt. I did that blind hem on a cape. It was a
curved
hem.
You know, most of my trouser hems are not straight. Because I actually usually have the back of my trouser
a little longer.
Inch longer. Mm-hmm. A half inch to an inch longer than the front. Because I liked how that looks.
You like that look. Okay, so there you go. Not quite straight. So you can pin that hem up, you know, your inch or 2 inches, you know, whatever.
Right.
And then when you go to the sewing machine, it is held in place.
Right.
And I can't tell you, I used to, when I
was
first.
Oh, you can clip it up.
Uh-huh.
We've talked about
pin,
that. You actually
secure.
Can tape it under.
Yeah, there you,
want,
go. There you go. There
you
go.
If you're using the blind hem foot, you don't want to tape it up.
No. But you are securing that.
Yes.
And when you press it up, and I've done this before because I was, like, you know, kind of trying to teach myself to do this. I've totally pressed in some, like, weird bubble. It can be little.
Well, the thing is when you press it up, you're really not securing it in place.
No,
you really aren't. And so you're right. It may shift on you.
Uh-huh.
So if you feel you need it to stay in place, it needs to be pinned or clipped. Pressing it up won't do the right thing.
Well, and I think people like pin anyway when they press it up. Like,
way they might do that too.
Okay,
you're right.
So you're already pinning.
I measure and pin.
Yeah, right.
Measure and pin, or use the clips. The
Wonder clips or a sewing clip of some kind. Yeah, you don't have to press that in. And I think it makes people really afraid to do that because that's the way it's often taught. But, you know, even on – there is this Colette blog post that talks about blind hemming, and they tell you to press, and they even say you can get a press line from this.
Yeah.
Pressing that you're going to press out
right.
later. Because you press in a fold that you're supposed to take out.
That's right.
When you do a blind hem like that, right? Yeah, so we don't press in a hem before we sew it, except on jeans. Okay.
If you do, I mean.
You know why I say that? Because I just know someone's just going to email and be like, you used an iron. No.
Right. That's kind of a different kind of hem, too.
It is.
A jeans hem is more like an upholstered hem or like a bag.
Bag.
Hem.
No, I was about to say that. I was like, it reminds me of making a purse more than anything.
It's more like home deck.
Yes.
I swear it is. Jeans are more like home deck.
Absolutely. Oh, I did want to come back and say that you'd posted something in the Zigzag group about, you know, a good steam won't always fix the mistake. Like, that's not true, you know? And then someone said, I feel like this is the equivalent in knitting when people say, oh, just block it, it'll be fine. And I thought, oh man, I bet I've used that before.
Right.
I was like, oh, it's fine, I'll just block it. I'll just stretch the crap out of that. And so, but I'm an amateur knitter. I don't like tell people I know how to help them knit, so it's okay.
And while you're pinning,
I never tell anyone
and
that.
And while you're pinning that hem,
yeah,
do not put the pins in your mouth.
I'm a
mouth pinner, everybody. I had a really hard time breaking this habit.
Agreed.
I did it for years and years and years. I put the pin in my mouth. There's just no excuse anymore with magnetic pin cushions and things like that.
I catch myself doing it still.
And I will, too, occasionally. I'll stick something in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, I had a machine dealer that I, you know, would see very frequently when we would go to trainings and everything, and what she did is she had a pin in her mouth. She was sewing in the shop.
Uh-huh.
You know, other people were sewing, and she laughed and she sucked it in.
Yeah,
and it actually went in her lung.
Yeah,
and that it had to be removed.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to take her to intensive care. You know,
surgery.
And they had to do a bronchoscopy and pull this pin out. So. It doesn't happen all the time, but it happens.
Yeah, that, you know, it's not good for your teeth either.
It's not.
If you hold them, you know, between your teeth. You know, our dentist asked me, she goes, oh, so you sew. So do you cut threads with your teeth? And
no.
I was like, absolutely not. Like, how inefficient. You know what? I
think First of all, metrazine's pretty hard.
That's what I was going to say. I thought
that's
my thread.
That's a crappy thread that you can cut with your teeth.
You can do with your teeth. I'd like, I'd have to really saw that off. And plus, I love scissors, you know. So don't put pins in your mouth for real health reasons. I saw Zelda. She tried to, I didn't put the pin in my mouth. I licked the thread, which will bring us to our next thing.
Okay.
But she then put the needle in her mouth. And I was like, no. I said, I licked the thread real quick to put it through the eye. We never put needles or pins in our mouth. And she's still.
I don't even lick the thread. I lick my finger.
Oh, really? Yeah. I lick the thread. She's 4, so she's not like completely out of the stage.
It's not a habit with her yet either.
No, stop it now. And I really,
when
I'm around her, I definitely don't put a pin in my mouth. Like, I get the little ding ding reminder.
And this
brain.
Will bring us.
But she still puts
threads and pins. And another thing is, don't sew over pins. I know we've said this before. I know people will tell you you can.
You can sew over a pin.
You can do it.
The problem is then when you miss and you try to sew through a pin.
Right.
And now I think we've gone into a lot of detail about that before.
Right.
But you say that I've seen this too.
But I know people who have truly gotten injured.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the pin has broken. And, not only that, it can cause a very expensive injury to your machine. Right.
Which a lot of people...
And, you know, people will say, oh, I've done it for 30 years. Well, you know what? On year 31, it might just happen.
You know, and I've accidentally, like, I've missed a pin.
Sure.
Before,
I've done it.
You know, and I'm always like, ugh. Yeah. Like, you know, oh my gosh, I'm so lucky that didn't...
Right.
Okay, I've seen this on the internet and you brought it up. People spraying hairspray...
Right.
...on the end of a thread...
To make it go through the eye of a needle, whether right. in your machine or hand sewing or whatever, but through an eye.
Okay, first of all, I don't need one more thing to keep track of in my sewing studio.
Well,
even though, look, we have hairspray right there. Well, I need that. I'm going to take that home.
That's when I was doing a wig.
Okay.
That
well,
was,
I'm
was
taking
not,
it home.
It was not for sewing.
Hairspray.
I was styling a wig up here. But anyway, you can take it home.
Okay.
But I think I had it in the costume thing over there. Here's my thing about
yeah,
the
there
hairspray.
Are a few problems.
I'm
yeah.
sure, okay, I know, I'm sure it can probably work, okay?
Oh, sure.
First of all, somebody told me this. Oh, I don't use the needle thread on my machine. I just spray the end of my thread. And I'm like, I think that's more trouble than learning to use your needle
right.
thread. like, you have to get out the hairspray. You have to watch where you're spraying it, correct?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to spray it towards my machine. Okay, for those of you who use hairspray, isn't your bathroom floor or sometimes the wall
yeah.
of your bathroom just coated with hairspray?
You know what I'll notice?
You don't even notice it like once. You notice it like you're like, oh my gosh,
oh, wait,
what's
there's
all
a
this
layer
stuff?
Of hairspray
yeah.
on here. Yeah.
Or it's all over your mirror because you do it, you know, towards
uh-huh.
your mirror. I mean, I don't want that stuff on my machines or around it.
I know. Well, we did that video of me embroidering the towel.
Right.
And I spray, it's sort of next to the machine, but just for filming purposes.
Right.
And we get a lot of comments like, you shouldn't spray near your machine. And you know what? They're totally right.
Yes.
You know.
I mean, we have a spray box.
Yes.
You know, when we use adhesive.
Uh-huh.
I mean, a lot of people won't even spray in their
yeah, they go
so
outside.
So they go outside.
Yeah.
Our studio is pretty well ventilated. It's huge. For us to go outside, we have to go down two sets of stairs. Mm. Anyway, but we use a spray box.
Yeah.
And we're very careful about it.
Well, so yeah, I can't imagine sitting at your sewing machine and then like just getting the bottle of
hairspray. I think like you said, introducing something else.
And
when I could, if I really need to make that, first of all, okay, the first thing I do if I can't get a thread through something is I clip it.
Yeah, talk about. You have
okay.
a clipping technique. Talk
I will
about
clip
it,
yeah. and I will straighten it with my finger, and then I will clip it at an angle.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, yes.
And this is a bead. If you're a beader, you really know this.
Uh-huh.
Because you're going through a very tiny eye and a needle. So you often take your finger. If I need to wet it or something, I will. But I will lick barely. Touch my finger
you know,
to my tongue.
Just,
I don't even lick it.
I'm just trying to like decide if there could be someone out there who like doesn't produce enough saliva to do this and must have hairspray or something like that.
I don't know.
I don't. I mean, so
sometimes
I don't mean to
just,
you know leave
I don't
anybody
know.
Out, but
yeah.
I can't.
I
don't know.
And people say it works. I just can't imagine if I've got this machine too that has a needle threader.
Right.
Well, why that, I haven't learned to use it.
Right.
You know, because they do work, people.
So put it, like hairspray, I don't know, maybe that's just one of those clickbaity things. Maybe you say you know somebody.
No, I know someone told me one time when I said, "Why aren't you using your they didn't know how to use their threader." And I said, "Well, you don't know how to, what machine do you have?" And they said, "Oh, I have this." And I said, "What is a threader?" And she says, "I just use hairspray." And I thought, you have to open the hairspray. You have to get the hairspray. You have to. I mean, all I'm thinking of is if you've threaded your machine down to the needle and then you're spraying that, how close are you to your machine? See?
What if she like?
I don't know.
Sprays it all over the thread and puts it through her machine first, and then it's all hairspray in her sewing machine too.
Well, no, I know.
Well, like, how much hairspray?
I don't
like,
know.
How much is getting on that one little strand?
Well, hopefully not a lot.
Okay. Well, anyway,
and you know, maybe she takes her finger and wipes off the excess. I don't know.
Well, yeah, right.
But,
and then your hand gets sticky. Anyway.
But yeah, it just seems to me is why would I add stickiness? That's like adding spray varnish
to my
sewing machine.
You're liking using glue for a lot of things right
now. Oh, yeah, and I've got some.
But you still work to contain it and everything. Like, you understand the, ZD's using a lot of spray glue.
And I do not spray glue above my machines either.
Oh,
I spray down and in a box on the floor.
That's a good principle. Okay, let's take a quick break and come back. We're getting on a roll with these. Hello there, you fabulous sewing machine. Did you know that our podcasts and Facebook group are mostly funded by our fabulous members? We have corporate sponsors, but our individual members are the people who ensure that we can keep producing our quirky, inclusive, sometimes slightly offbeat sewing media.
You can support the sewing media you love starting at $1.50 per month. As you go up the scale, you get perks like a universal wardrobe planner, the Sew Long and Sew Happy zine, access to patterns and discounted classes, and even a monthly live broadcast from Mallory and me.
We are so thankful for our past, present, and future members. Any level of membership is helpful toward producing our podcasts, videos, and the time it takes to moderate our growing Facebook community. Go to sewhere.com/membership to check it out.
Sewing out loud.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
And we're back. All right. This is a big one. And I don't want anyone to take this personally or take our, like, I don't want to sound exasperated, but.
Well, I'll give you, I can, you,
want
you
to
say something because I got a really good example.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, they're really okay. Great examples. Okay. When you're going to alter a garment, whether you are making it from scratch or it's ready to wear, do not try the garment on inside out. Okay.
And don't mark it.
And don't mark it and try it on inside out.
That's not how you're going to wear it.
You need to
try it on how you're going to wear it. And there's more than one reason.
And the only, you know, I think the reason I sound exasperated is it's not with you, dear listener, who's hearing this for the first time. Okay. It's because it's like in the group, people will be like, oh, I need to figure out how to take this fabric out or something. And people will be like, well, try it on inside out. I'm like, no.
Well, and the thing is if you do that, and sometimes people do that, and then they alter it, and then they find out it does not work, and then the garment's done. You can't fix it.
Because you've taken it out. You've taken it out.
You can't fix it.
No, so when you try a garment on inside out, mm-hmm. it is now mirror imaged on your body.
That's correct.
Okay. So
it's mirror imaged and inside out.
And inside out, right.
So it's like, that's how you wear your underwear for it. On the third day
or whatever, you switch it.
Front,
yeah.
back, inside out, front and back. Yeah.
I put on a pair of underwear inside out. They were clean the other day. I felt really smart.
I one time couldn't figure out why my underwear was so uncomfortable. And I was working with Terry at the time, this guy, right? And I kept like having to pull my underwear around. And finally, I went to the bathroom because I needed to go to the bathroom. And I pulled my underwear down and I had the leg around my waist.
Yeah. I did that once when I was like 5 or something. I feel like
I was a little bit older.
Were you older than that?
Probably like 45. Yeah. But I was like, what is wrong with it? I was like ready to cut them off and go commando. Yeah.
Okay. So when you try something on inside out, not only is it mirror imaged, but like the fit, you are going to have seam allowance on the inside of your garment when you're done with sewing it, you know.
So if you have darts,
yeah,
say, in this garment, and the darts have a seam allowance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it called a dart allowance?
A dart allowance. the excess fabric from the dart is no longer against your body.
Yeah.
It's on the outside.
Yep.
And in some garments, maybe it wouldn't make a difference.
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
But in a lot, it will. There's hem allowances. There's plackets. If it has a collar, the collar will not roll correctly. If that collar is on correctly and you turn it inside out, you have just basically sort of distorted the neck.
Oh,
of
man,
that.
I didn't even
think about that.
How people
if you have facings, they're now on the outside and not on the inside. Shall I go on?
Okay.
Because I can.
While this podcast isn't supposed to be like a big how-to about altering.
No, it's just us trying to tell you reasons why.
I do want to say, you can pin out your excess or fit or whatever.
Right.
And now you got your flappy doos. They're pointing away from your body.
Right.
Right. Right. Okay. So you've pinned those. Safety pins are great for this.
Yeah. We're big on safety pins with altering now because I have had so many instances, especially when I was transporting garments, that I would pin things in and then they fall out.
Yeah. And I think we may have, did we do a video on this for zigzaggers?
I remember taping this at some point.
You take off the garment.
Right.
And you mark on the inside where that fabric was meeting. And now you have your guide for where to take it up. Okay. Or, you know, say you're just, I don't know, at the waist, you can say, oh, look, I have marked out 2 inches or something like that. But it wasn't an inside out 2 inches. It was a right side out 2 inches. Okay. It does make a difference. Absolutely. So don't turn things inside out. You will see it. People are going to tell you to do it. Sometimes we don't catch them all. Sometimes I don't have the energy.
So I was brought in on a costume situation.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it was a show choir, a dancing singing choir. If nobody knows what show choir is.
It's the same one I'm thinking about.
I don't know.
Okay.
But they were altering these girls' garments inside out.
Yeah.
And I thought,
mean marking them? Like marking them.
Yes.
Because you would turn it inside out to alter it probably.
No, they were putting the garments on the performers inside out.
Yeah.
And then pinning them with straight bands. And pinning them, and then they were gonna alter them this way.
Uh-huh.
I was not in charge. Okay. I was brought in to rescue, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people do really want to be rescued. Sometimes they want, I don't know why they want me there. Okay? Because I said, I don't think this is a good idea. Not only were they doing this, but this was a one-shouldered garment. Okay?
Okay. So, like, this could show you very clearly how mirror imaged it is.
Right.
Because
so
it's on the other
supposed
arm
to be, you know, on the right shoulder, and now it was on the left
shoulder.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, some of these girls were really busty. And I was thinking, this might be a problem. This just might be a problem. And the next thing I said is, does everybody have on the proper undergarments? Because people have bra straps sticking out on one side. Oh, no, it's at home. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And I turned around to the person in charge and I said, you know, I hope, you know, I'm getting kind of nervous about this. Mm-hmm. I said, and okay, and these dresses were like fringed.
This is not the same situation.
Okay, so we were going to be cutting fringe off and doing.
Fun.
I was just like, this is like just a disaster, you know, looking at me. Oh no, we do this all the time. And I was like, okay, because I'll tell you what, the girls I tried on did not let them put them on inside out.
Yeah.
And if they did not have their undergarment, okay, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I made them go home and I came back the next day.
Right.
So guess who got to try and fix everybody else's screwed up car? Okay. You know, there's 20 of these girls. Yeah. There was like 16 of these that were screwed up. So what they did too is they altered it and they cut it out. And
cut,
I had,
and
we
cut,
had,
cut, cut.
I spent, okay, these dresses got worn for like 2 minutes.
Right.
You know, I spent hours trying to fix these.
They got more stage time in your studio.
Oh, than, yeah. Yeah. You know, it was a night. And some of them, the girls' shoulders were not symmetrical,
yeah.
or their boobs weren't symmetrical,
right, right.
or
very
something.
Common, very common.
Right, right. So, you know, what, and they just were horrid. Just horrid. And I mean, I was sick over it, and I was then there to rescue. And it really, it was very aggravating for me, because I said, I really don't think this is a good
Did
idea.
Did you get mentioned in the program?
I hope not, because they looked horrible.
I just sometimes
that
I'm
happens
like,
too, right?
Sometimes I'm like, oh, they didn't mention me in the program.
I'm like, okay. Don't
it's
mention
right.
me in the program, because if you think I made that, I don't want anybody to think
it's
I made
not
that
clear
one.
Clear what right. I did, so right. You know, we need to delineate if we're going to mention. No,
that's right.
Yeah, so don't try things on inside out, and it, you know, it can might work for some things, but it's.
I don't.
It's not a
know.
Good practice.
I don't
it's
know why it would, because that's not how you wear it.
Right. Right. It's not how you wear it. Exactly. I think people are just afraid and just haven't been taught how to do it is what I think.
Right.
I think that's what it is. And they think, oh, you sew this inside out. So you, you know, so you do that. Yeah. So don't half the podcast. This was our first thing that we came up
kind
with.
Kind of made us crazy.
We
were thinking about it.
Did this podcast. Okay. And then what's our next don't?
Well, you know, this is a suggestion.
Okay.
Is if you have a cutting mat. Mm-hmm. And say you're cutting something over and over again, like strips for something or whatever. Try not to cut in the same place on your cutting mat over and over again. It will wear out.
Yeah.
And I hear people say this. How do I get my, you know, cutting mat not to wear out? Well, don't use it.
It's going to wear out.
And we have a big, huge one. You know, ours is 4 foot by 8 foot because it's on basically how we built our table. And we will rotate it. And sometimes we will move from what we also keep a piece of an old mat sometimes that we'll even put on top of it.
We just did that power mesh pre-order and we're going to get out a piece.
Right.
And we're
so
gonna,
like if when we're cutting yardage over and over and over again, we will put, you know, part of the old mat that we saved and put it up there.
Right.
Because we're like basically cutting the same line over and over and over. And then, you know, it's called a self-healing mat, but it, you know. I mean, it doesn't totally heal.
Right.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
I've seen some things where you're like, put it in the bathtub, do this, do that. And I'm like, well, at some point,
I've heard people.
It's going to wear out.
I've heard people about adding heat to it or something like that. It'll warp it. That's all it does.
Yeah.
Heat won't help you at all.
No.
Will not help you.
No, I agree. What's our next? I thought you had one more don't. Is that it?
Don't. I don't have one particularly on this list. I don't.
Okay.
Think.
Well, I think that was a good little.
I can say always use a new needle for a new project.
There you go. And okay, you wanted to say this one. I was like, oh, we say this all the time. Maybe it just bears repeating one more time, Mom. Go ahead. I know that you
don't use your big, huge shears at your sewing machine.
There you go. Why not?
Because you'll hurt your sewing machine.
This is the Jeopardy thing. Okay.
Well,
this item could pose great risk to your sewing machine.
That's right.
And then you're supposed to say, what are sewing shears?
Big, huge shears. So what are big, huge shears? So it could hurt if you have a computer screen.
Yep.
You can scar it. You can poke it. You can poke your lighting. You can just scar the basically any surface on your machine. And then you've got, you know, a rough spot, a place to snag. The other thing is it's not good to clip whatever you're on with those big. You can't be
the kind of work that you would do with
the
machine.
You
is
need
not
a little
shear,
pair of
really.
Snips, a little pair of scissors, because those big shears are for cutting big things.
Right.
So if you're just trimming or something like that, you shouldn't be using those big shears anyway.
Well,
you'll cut into your garment. You'll make more of a mistake.
They're not very precise.
Right.
Yeah. You know, very, very.
That's
good
one
point.
Of my favorite things to tell people. Actually,
ZD just loves to tell people not.
I just think that it makes, you know, it makes you just. so much more successful when you don't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Well, I think that was a good little list. I guess if anybody wants to, you know, fight us over those, just go to the
Well, no, and feel free to do all of those things we told you not to.
That's right.
Absolutely. That's right. Up to you. We're here to suggest and hopefully make things better. And if you don't think it does, don't do it.
There you go. All right, everybody. Well, we hope that you do everything perfectly in your sewing room, just like ZD wants you to. I know I do. You can get to us on Instagram at SewHereCom. You can email me at Mallory@SewHere.com.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit SewHere.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.